2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. And I got to tell you something. In reading this, I'm really struck by how much the Apostle Paul points out the service of others and gives praise to, basically tells the Corinthian church that these individuals are worthy of praise. Now, in some cases, he doesn't even mention their name. Evidently, they knew who he was talking about. But he definitely mentions Titus. And I realize I don't do that enough as a pastor. I don't know what it is in me, but I everybody's rebellious about something. I think I'm rebellious about getting up and praising people. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but I'm convicted that I need to do more of it. Yeah, and that's why I don't. That's why I don't. I've been in churches where it got carried away, and it looked like the reason why some people worked was because they received praise by working, and they weren't doing it for the love of God. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul here, as we'll see, believes in praising the work that people do, and making others aware of it. So, that said, I want to just start off by thanking all of those who worked hard this summer. I got to let you guys know, I'm going to thank the adults in a minute, but I got to let you know what the teens did this summer. I mean, these guys amaze me. So, we had 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was, got a call from Ames Boulevard. They're in a panic. They don't have anybody to do their rally. Sunday night, the leader of their VBS is calling every church she can in town to see if somebody can help them lead worship during the VBS rally. They don't have anybody that can do it, and they were supposed to have a group from out of town come in and do it. She didn't find out until Sunday night. Monday morning is their VBS. She didn't find out until Sunday night that they weren't going to have a group. Mission Lab. Okay? So, she's calling around in a panic, and I said, I think I might be able to get you one or two teens. And I was going to force Corinne to go, okay? But then Corinne and Rebecca stayed at a lock-in at another church that Sunday night. So Sunday morning, they both were going to go. But I'm like, Sunday night they stayed at the lock-in. And so Monday morning when I picked them up from the lock-in, I was going to drive them right over to Ames and make them. I knew they hadn't gotten any sleep, but I was going to go ahead and make them do it. But John Mark, Gideon, Chris, and who went the first day? Jessica all said they wanted to do it. And so Corinne and Rebecca got to sleep that morning. And now Tuesday they couldn't go back because they all went to Blue Bayou. But Wednesday, then we had Rebecca join Jim, right? You went Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? Okay. And then Jimmy was there Friday. And in addition to John Mark and Chris, Jessica, and then Alyssa and Lauren, and who else? And Lakin. All went out there and wanted to. And then while they were going out there, they also did the Office Depot runs that I told you about. I mean, it's amazing. You guys, I got to tell you again, I don't know if you realize how much money you really saved us by doing those Office Depot runs. It's incredible. I mean, 25 cents a pack of paper instead of 82 cents is the cheapest we could have gotten anywhere else. And I think we had 400 packs of paper we had to get, some crazy amount like that. So you can imagine how much money these guys saved us. So I just want to let you know that we have teenagers that want to do ministry. We also have adults that want to do ministry. I mean, we had an incredible group that went with us to Tennessee, which included Paul and Shay, and Aaron and Sandra was in there. And who else? And Betty. You know, Betty, really, that was just amazing. And then this past week for Youth VBS, the guys teaching, Ryan and Chantel. You never did get to teach, huh? Right. He had a good lesson, too, man. He did it on the mission trip.
I had the same lesson for each one.
You did for regular VBS and then the youth? That's right. You better learn that lesson. And then Shay and any luck? Okay. Shay and Sandra and Aaron provided food for these guys all week. Just an incredible week. This is Kristen put together the games. We've got a church that I can go to another church and stand in the pulpit and let them know, look, we run about 80 in worship, and yet we had 23 with us on this mission trip. I mean, just think about that. It's incredible the amount of people we have that are involved. And that's not just, I mean, those are the visible things that we see. But all these past few weeks, we've got church members cooking food and bringing it over to Miss Shirley Lashney. We've got folks taking care of all sorts of things behind the scenes, giving. I mean, this backpack ministry, that money came from somewhere, right? That's an incredible church.
And some people you were really surprised about that contributed to it.
Yep.
It kind of blew me away. I'm not telling you who they were or things like that, but you don't need to know.
Just really, really cool. I got to tell you, too, something really cool. Friday night, Kristen had this crazy game. Russell and Joanne came up, and also Jill, and then the same people that I mentioned already were here, and had them. Russell was sitting behind the screen. Did people find you very easily?
I had about eight of them found.
He was the first one.
He was the first one you found? How hard was it to find Miss Jill?
No?
Okay. Sandra and Aaron? I heard they ran right to you, Joanne. They figured out where you were right away. It was a crazy game where they had to get stamped by these guys, and then it's a complicated game, huh? And then natural disasters were chasing them around, and it was a complicated game. All right, so in all of this, we find that the apostle, he's disappeared. Really?
Yeah, and it was like everything you needed, like tons of stuff. Notebooks, scissors, I mean everything. The only thing we didn't need was like colored index cards, but everything else was exactly what we needed. I mean a big bag of stuff. But they came and got the
car.
She probably knew we were doing it and had planned it. Somebody else gave a $300 donation. You know, so, I mean, on the day, people show up, and it's amazing the way that God provides. As long as we'll do what the Lord's calling us to do, he'll take care of the finances of it. Now, 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 16. I thank God who put it into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, They are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. If you remember, this is all about the offering that was being taken up. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Or was it last week? The offering that was being taken up for the churches in Jerusalem that were in the midst of a famine. And so the churches in the Gentile areas, the non-Jewish churches, non-Jewish background churches, were giving to help those from the churches in Jerusalem, help them get by. And the Apostle Paul had given certain directions to the church at Corinth and wanted them to know, look, these other churches, like in Philippi and other areas of Macedonia, they're going crazy. They don't have anything, and yet in their poverty, it's overflowing with expressions of thanks to God by their gift. So I don't want you to embarrass everybody by not giving when these others that don't have anything, you have plenty. Make sure that you give what you said you were going to give. Okay, so then he starts talking about who's coming to receive the gift and what kind of character these people have and how they are worthy of praise. So I thought about this a little bit and thought, well, who is worthy of praise? Who should we be praising for their work to the Lord? Is it just anybody who's ever done anything for the church or this, that, and the other? Or is it that the Apostle Paul is picking out certain individuals because there is an example of character in them that others should emulate? Okay, is it just to praise somebody because they've done a good job? Or is it to draw attention to someone so that they'll see Christ in them and see what Christ looks like? You know, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, using himself as an example. And I think here he's saying, you know, these others need to be examples too, so that everybody will see. How do you follow Christ? What does it look like? What does serving the Lord look like? Look at these examples. I want you to see them, and I give praise because they're praiseworthy. So who are these types of people that we should look at and want to be like? Who are these types of people that should be praised for the work they're doing for the gospel? Well, first of all, in verse 17, basically he says that those types of people are the ones that who will minister with enthusiasm and of their own initiative. Now, a couple weeks ago when the kids went to Ames Boulevard, they could have had a terrible attitude about it. They could have done it begrudgingly. Okay, now, so here's the thing. I'm turning to them and saying, you guys, I need your help. We have a church in the area that needs help with their VBS, which means I need you to not sleep in during your summer, near the end of your summer. You know, school's right around the corner. But I need you to get up and get there by what time do we have to be there? 8:45? Okay. We left at 8:20? Okay. I need you to get up in the morning. We need to get out there. And then you need to stay till noon. Not just asking them to do about 15 minutes and leave. They were staying till noon and doing part of the rotation. I could have forced them to do it just because, hey, look, you know, we do so much for you. And giving them a guilt trip about them to get it. I didn't have to. I was ready to. I was prepared. They were going to do it no matter what. But they wanted to do it. In fact, when the others found out about it, they couldn't wait to sign up to do it. We had more kids than we knew what to do with. Okay? Yeah, we pared it down near the end because we found that going with five worked better than going with seven, eight, or nine. So, who is praiseworthy in their work to the Lord? Those who do it with enthusiasm. They want to do it. Why did I go over someone's house to visit them when they were sick? Why did I cook a meal to bring to them? Why do I go and pray with them? Why did a lot of people come yesterday for the backpack ministry to work and do the... Because we want to. And because we have to. But because we want to. Those who minister with enthusiasm and on their own initiative. They don't wait to always be asked. Years ago, there was somebody who would always say to me, "Oh, you went to visit so-and-so? Well, why didn't you ask me? Oh, you went..." I finally said to him, "You know, I go visiting a lot. Why don't you just ask me ahead of time? You know, and then I'll remember to call you. But you always ask on after I've done, you know, like, have some initiative here. If you want to minister, do it. If you want to be part of it, do it. Don't always just sit back and wait for somebody to ask, because you'll be forgotten, unfortunately. Just jump in. Who's praiseworthy? Well, those who are eager to honor God and to help the church. He says in verses 18 and 19, "And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help." This individual, he's giving praise to, and all the churches give praise to this individual, because evidently this individual, dying to help, wants to be involved, eager to do this, and wants to be honorable and honor God in his service. I imagine, yeah, it's him. I think it's him, huh? Yeah, he was. Knew I didn't just make that up. How about those who live honestly before God and man? And this is a real important point here. In verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul says, "We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift." So what was going on is they were going around to each church. They were collecting the money that each church was pledging to those in Jerusalem. And you had to make sure that those that were collecting this money were honorable and wouldn't pocket it. Okay, if you remember, the 12 disciples, Judas was the one who kept the money. And it was known, evidently, that Judas kept some of that for himself. Because there was a comment made when Judas talked about how expensive the alabaster perfume was that was being poured on Jesus' feet. Oh, this could feed so many, you know, hungry and the poor. He was making a huge deal out of it only because he would have been stealing it himself, instead of giving it for
these other purposes.
So, the Apostle Paul talks about we and the men who we're talking about here, they don't do that. Okay, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. What he's saying is we're trying to be as open and transparent as possible so that no one thinks that any of this money is going to our pockets. And he says, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." Now, I want to talk about this for a second, because sometimes we can be criticized by others and we think, "Well, forget you, I know that I'm doing the right thing by God." And there is something to say that. I mean, you're always going to be criticized. I'll just let you know, as a pastor these last 13 years, you're going to be criticized all the time for good things and bad. I mean, it's just going to happen. But I've heard some people decide they don't care about whatever criticism people do because, well, I know I'm doing the right thing, so it doesn't really matter. The Apostle Paul didn't think that was true. The Apostle Paul actually cared what people thought. Now, in the end, he was answerable to the Lord, and there's another part in Corinthians that he talks about that. Okay, he doesn't judge anyone, and he doesn't sit under anyone's judgment. But we see here that he does make pains to make sure that he is not the one leading people to false impressions. Okay, he makes pains to show people on the front end. He knows that people are going to criticize the way they collect the money, that there's going to be some nutcases out there accusing them of something. So he goes the extra mile from the sound of it here. He and the others go the extra mile to show their character is such that they're trustworthy and they're going to do the right thing in the eyes of the Lord and also do the right thing in the eyes of men. So what might that be? Well, I mean, just thinking here, guessing, don't know for sure, but maybe at each church, they show them, here is a list from each church of what they gave. You could look if you wanted. You know, I don't know what they did, but I imagine they would have had something like that so at every church they could prove to anyone who wanted to know, we're not taking any of this money. Everything that has been given will go to Jerusalem. Almost like, here's receipts I can show you. They're going the extra mile to make sure that whatever anybody could come up with could be proved wrong. And I think that's very important. These are the types of folks that we need to make sure that we're showing honor to and letting people know, because they're doing it the right way and they're making sure that, well, they're making sure they're doing it the right way. Not only going to be, they're going to live honestly before God, not only, but also before mankind. What other characteristics make someone worthy of being praised for their service to the Lord? Well, in verse 21, we find that he talks about, verse 22, he talks about, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous. What does zealous mean? Louis, what does zealous mean? You use it a lot.
Eager.
Okay.
Tenacious.
Not going to quit. Desiring to. Enthusiasm and jacked up for the Lord. Okay. Not the context I'm thinking. Yeah. Zealous for God. And notice, confident in the church. He says here, we're sending our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. I've met folks who will serve God but have no confidence in the church. It's a terrible thing to see. You'll find somebody who talks to you about how they want to serve God over and over and over, but they're not a member of a church. That's one type of individual I'll meet. And, nah, I don't go to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites there. But I'm serving the Lord. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. No, you're not. Okay? You don't love Christ's bride. He loves his bride. How can you love him and serve him when you hate his bride? You tell me you're my friend and hate my wife? We're not too close. Doesn't work. Right? So, we have an example here of someone who's confident in the church. And the Corinthians would have been one of the hardest churches to be confident in, right? If you read through the letters to 1st and 2nd Corinthians, not exactly a church that you immediately would go, hey, let me tell you about this church. They're an example I want you to... You'd be like, is there another church in the region that I can send you to? No. And yet, they were confident in them. We need to be confident in our brothers and sisters in Christ and what God is doing in them. And in our service, be excited about the service to the body. I've met people who were in church, who were working for God, and would turn around and badmouth the whole church. Not this church, by the way. I've seen that too. But that's not what came to mind initially. You just wonder, well, why are you doing it? You hate everybody at the church. What's the use? Well, those who are praiseworthy are those who actually are confident in the church. And their fellow workers in verse 22. No, in 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow workers. They understand that we're in this together. They're not over anybody. That'll kill a church too. That'll kill the ministry of a church when you get a couple people that think they are the grand poobahs. You know, they're the chieftains. Ugh. No, they're fellow workers. We're all fellow workers. In Christ, we're all doing the work together. And the Apostle Paul never sets himself above, even though he could. He was the apostle, right? That was to the Gentile nations. I mean, if you think about this, you had 12 disciples, and then 11 of them became apostles. Then they added one, so they had 12 apostles. Then they had Paul, and Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. All the others, under Peter, really as the leader of them, were the apostles to the Jewish believers, and I'm sure to Gentiles too, but Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and yet he never lords it over anybody. He always talks about others as his fellow workers, elevating them as equals. Okay, these are the type of folks that you go, wow, that's awesome. We need to recognize this person. They're a fellow worker. As for our brothers, they're representatives of the church. They realize that the church has sent them on this mission. Nothing special, but the responsibility is on their shoulders. They're representing the church, and they're going to represent Christ. He says that they're representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Who are those that we need to praise? Those who are honoring Christ by their lifestyle. I've met some folks before that when you found out that they were representative of a certain church, you decided you would never go to that church. Because they didn't honor Christ with their lifestyle. They didn't represent their church well. They were saying they were out there working for church, but they weren't a good representative of the church. Here, the Apostle Paul says, no, we need to praise those that are good representatives. I'll never forget that time that we all did that. All of our choirs got together, three churches got together, and we had a meal ahead of time, and Chris and I were two of the last ones to leave the fellowship hall while everybody made their way over to the church. And we went out of our way to make sure that one of the ladies who was cleaning up, we said, oh, thank you so much for having us over here. This is wonderful what you guys have done. And she just went, yeah, well, I'd like to be able to go over there too. But I can't because I've got to work over here. Wow. Woo. Stealing everybody's joy there, aren't you? Not a good representative of the church. She might have been a good worker, but no joy, no enthusiasm, no zeal, begrudgingly. I just thought, lady, you probably need to go home because you're not too happy here. And then it's interesting to me to look at other passages that the Apostle Paul mentions others that should be praised. If you go to 1 Corinthians, okay, so a book back, chapter 16, he really goes out of his way to bring attention to certain people. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 15. He says, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men, what's it say? Deserve recognition. So some of the qualities he gave in 2 Corinthians, now you can add those who are devoted to the service of the church, those who refresh the faith of others, should be honored, should be recognized. I know there's been some in this church that I've called glue people. And just, they were ones that held us together because they would call everybody on a regular basis and just when people got off the phone with them, they were always uplifted. There's some that'll call on a regular basis and when you get off the phone with them, you're not uplifted. But in this case, Ann Gotro was one. I was always like, wow, everybody loves Ann. And she would just contact everybody all the time. And it was such an interesting thing. There was such a dynamic because of that. You know? Dave Wilson. Ready? That's what the Apostle Paul, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. And they need to be recognized for that. And then look at Romans 16. So these three letters in a row, he talks about basically recognizing people. And in this case, he's telling the church in Rome to acknowledge certain people in their midst and tell them he sends his love. But he's using this as a way to recognize their achievements and their service. We'll start in verse 1. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in... I can't pronounce that. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Making sure to let them know that this person, the first one that came to Christ, what does that tell you? This person must have led many to Christ. Recognize that what's happened in Asia, this person was the first one to come to Christ. And think of all the people who owe their salvation to them, to this person. Epaphroditus, I'm guessing his male name, I don't know. I didn't study that one. Greet Mary, that's a female name, by the way, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. That would be cool. How come we never see that? Can you imagine running into twins named Tryphena and Tryphosa? Those are names that should make a comeback. Those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. You know, I'm going to try to do a better job of this. But we need to recognize who Christ has used in our lives and in the church and make sure to let people know that these are individuals who deserve recognition and whose walk with Christ should be emulated. Any thoughts? Let's pray. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you have so many around us to remind us of what it looks like to be on fire for you. Lord, you have put so many in this church who seek after you and are not afraid to be your witnesses and not afraid to be examples. That's a glorious thing, Lord. I've been to so many meetings and heard so many pastors and lay people just lament the fact that there are not leaders in their church, that there are not individuals on fire for Christ, that there are not individuals who could be recognized as examples in the faith. And I'm thankful that, Lord, I have no idea what they're talking about, because you have placed so many here who are fellow servants and fellow workers and desire to bring honor and glory to you. We are grateful for that, Lord, and give you praise in Christ. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.